Welcome to At a Crossroads with a Naked Podcaster, where we bear it all emotionally and spiritually. This podcast is designed to support and uplift you as a Christian. I'm your host, Jen Taylor from momof18.com. Each week on the podcast, I'll bring you an inspiring message to support you in designing and creating a vibrant, fulfilling life. Before we dive in, please visit all of the links in the communities as this is a live broadcast. Feel free to ask questions I can answer during the podcast. At Crossroads with the Naked Podcasters for Christians who know that there is more to life and that our true authentic souls are built for greatness. You are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through during times of conflict and celebration. Welcome. I can't wait to bear it all with you. In my business as a coach for Christian women, I help them to step into who they are meant to be and be inspired by their purpose and God-given gifts. Follow the links to sign up for my free training on how you as a Christian can begin to design the life that's meant for you. Reach out to me at any time on momof18.com. Holy cow. It has been a day. Welcome, Tina Brigley.
Hey, everyone.
It's interesting. Like, we're live and people see this or they watch it later or they listen and they're like, what is her problem? Like, I just got on and listened. And they, you know, no one knows that the struggle is real on the back end of life. And this is a great thing to talk about. I actually, welcome, Tina. Thank you. I appreciate you. Take 75. Let's jump into high performing coach, because I have a feeling by just jumping in to your website, it will probably address a lot of issues people commonly have, which was a lot of what we were kind of struggling with in the last few weeks getting together.
Yeah. You know, I think it was funny when we said before this show, there's like some resistance here. It's either a really good thing, like there's going to be something magical that shows up. And that's what I'm focusing on. It's going to be magical because, yeah, it's taken something to get here with you. And I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited. I mean, now that we're on take 75 and we hopefully will just, it will just be a straight shot. Now we can just kick back and relax and be excited. And I really am. I'm really thrilled to have you on. We've gotten to know each other virtually, and connecting and collaborating with people online in a positive, authentic way is my absolute favorite thing to do. So I've been super excited.
Well, I remember when I first reached out to you, I think it was in the summer, and you said, like, I'm the naked podcaster. Like, I'm going to show up naked. And I thought, really? Like, is this literal or is this figuratively? Like, I'm going to show up raw and vulnerable. And I'm like, no. Yeah. And so I was just like, this is somebody I need to get to know.
I did. And I mean, the Naked Podcaster has been over 4 years, and I was only actually physically naked for one of it, 1 year. But when I went to video, when I went from audio to video, I thought, oh, if I'm asking my guests to bear it all and be emotionally very uncomfortable, I'll be emotionally, physically uncomfortable. And actually being naked's not physically, you didn't see anything. If you saw something, like that would be a totally different show. But the idea of nakedness physically is uncomfortable for most people. Yeah. And I was happy to be uncomfortable with the people that I had on my show. And it was great. It was limiting. And it was a really interesting experiment. It ended up being an experiment, right? And on how things work and what works and what that would mean. And I did it for a year. And then there were enough limitations that I put my shirt back on.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Like, I love that whole like vulnerability and being open and just being free with whatever is there, whatever shows up. And I think it's so symbolic of like our life, right? We just hold back and are so constrained by the past that we kind of just live there sometimes instead of moving beyond it, moving past it, hiding it, hiding our truth, hiding behind, you know, this fake facade sometimes. And it's just nice and real and refreshing to just bear it all, so to speak.
My daughter just had her second baby. We talked when I was with her in San Antonio. And it's interesting. Her first baby's over a year and a half old now. And she has become a doula and breastfeeding counselor. And she works with women because her first experience was really tough for her. And I didn't even realize, because I know her story, that she had never posted about her story. And she was really, there's a lot of trepidation about just sharing her story about her son's birth, right? Mm. She just did it yesterday and she's blown away by the comments. When we show up really raw and authentic and show who we are in our struggles, like when we're not showing our highlight reel, the highlight reel isn't a lie, but it's not a full truth either. And when she showed up saying, hey, this is my birth story and this is what was beautiful and this is what was awful and I really struggled and I was disappointed and that's why I became a doula because I want to help you. People respond, regardless of what it is, they respond to you being genuine and raw and authentic. And every time someone does it, they're blown away by like, wow, people really responded. Yes, because we're all sitting around hurting in the same ways. And when someone posts something that's part of your pain, you're so relieved and thankful and you feel less alone.
Yeah, 1,000,000%, you know, part of high performing coaches, I train and develop coaches to grow their businesses online. And I say, you don't need funnels. You don't need a website. You don't need fancy anything. You need you. You need to share yourself with the world because your people are just waiting for you to show up because they want to know, do I like you? Do I trust you? Are you the one for me? And when we're hiding, we can't show up authentically as ourselves. And people don't connect to phony. They like the real deal.
Who knew? I showed up recently to a training and I was one of the coaches and it was late at night for me. So because of my family and stuff, I rearranged dinner. I showered. I was in pajamas, which is just a different t-shirt for me. Right. Yeah. And I showed up, glasses on, no makeup, pajamas. Like I want to be here so much that I'm willing to rearrange my life. And due to that, you get me glasses, no makeup, in my pajamas. And that was, people commented like it kept coming up throughout the coaching that how great it was that I was willing to do that. And I thought, why is that even a big deal? Because people aren't willing. It's frightening. It's scary to show up. But you mentioned high performing coaches and what you do. So let's get into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I've been a coach for 5 years. I was a special education teacher before that. Yeah, I taught kids with special needs, Down syndrome, autism, nonverbal, kids with behavior disorders. So that was who I was in the world, right? I was a special education teacher. I loved it. But there was a part of me feeling like I was kind of wishing my life away.
Ah.
You know, like I was wishing for, you know, when I walked in the morning, I wished it was 3 p.m. And on Mondays, I was wishing it was Fridays. And every holiday, I was wishing it was the next holiday. And I thought, man, how selfish. I have this amazing job. I have a great career. I have, you know, a pension and benefits and safety and security. How can I be so selfish to want something more? And so I stayed in that job for 14 years and I didn't love it. I knew in my heart, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. And funny story, I went to a psychic.
We definitely need to talk about the psychic.
I know, right? And I was just like, you know, she's like, man, are you a nurse? I'm like, no. Are you sure? Are you in the healthcare industry? No. She would not get off of this. And she said, oh man, I don't see you as an educator. Like I see you helping, but in a different capacity. And I didn't tell her, but I had just signed up to become a health coach. And she told me, you're not going to be a teacher for long. You're going to be doing something different. And I said, oh, like a principal, a superintendent? She's like, no, not in the field of education in that capacity. Something bigger. You're going to be on stages. And I thought she was a whack job. Oh. I thought, okay, lady, sure. You know, I've been a teacher for 14 years. Nobody quits that. Like, this is what it is for me. And yeah, less than a year later, I became a coach.
Holy cow. That's crazy. That's great that you thought she was crazy.
I thought she was crazy. Oh yeah. Like the things that she was saying, she's like, you have the Midas touch. everything you touch is going to turn to gold. She said, you're going to be making a huge impact in the world. You're going to be on stages. And I was just like, I have stage fright. There's no way that is ever going to happen. I can't even have a meeting with a teacher and a principal without turning red and being embarrassed. There's no way I'm going to be on stages. And yeah, a year later I was a TEDx speaker.
Yes, that's right. So since we're on this part of the subject, so I really, really want to talk about what you do, but since we're on this part of it, what did that next year look like? Like, how did it show up for you to say, because usually it's like, oh, this comes up and this comes up. And then you realize down the road, you're in a totally different place. And like, how did this happen? Right. So she tells you that you think she's nuts. And what happened in the next year that led you to that? And when did you realize she was right?
So, So this is real. This is real time, you guys. I really thought I had a drinking problem. So I was sitting on my back patio and I was Googling, am I an alcoholic? And while I was doing that, you know, there's all these things that pop up, right? And in this quiz, it said, if you're not already seeking medical help, you should consider getting counseling or talk to somebody about this. And I started laughing because I kind of thought it was a joke. Like, I knew I drank wine every day, but I thought, doesn't everybody drink wine every day, all night? Like, I really did. And so in that moment, when I got the quiz results back, what happened was there was a pop-up to become a health coach. And I started laughing even more because I thought, man, I used to be really healthy. People used to come to me for advice. What happened? And so I clicked on this advertisement and I wound up in this 45-minute webinar about how to become a health coach. And so I called up my friends and I said, hey, you're never going to believe this. I just like did this webinar to become a health coach. I think I'm going to become a coach. And they laughed at me. Like, one friend after another, I called three people in a row and they all laughed and they said, you can't deal with your own life right now. How can you help somebody else? And you know what? I didn't listen to their advice. And I said, I think that this happened for a reason and I need to follow my gut. So I signed up to become a health coach. And in that process, I quit drinking. I took on my health, my well-being. I did a total like life transformation. And when I started taking on practice clients, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm really good at this. I can really connect with people and I love it. Like, I could do this forever. I mean, I was just instantly sign me up. Like, this is my life job. This is what I want to do forever. And so then after that, I found myself at work, like planning my coaching, taking on my coaching business while I was a teacher on my preps, on my breaks. And then it got to the point where I had so many clients. It's like, oh man, can this be possible? Could I actually do this as a full-time job? And I hired a coach and she asked me the question, do you want to be a teacher or do you want to be a coach? And I said, well, I would love to be a coach, but that's just not possible for me. Like, I have kids, I have responsibilities, I have a mortgage to pay. Like, I'm not going to make that much money as a coach to replace my teaching salary. And she said, what would you be doing? And then I created this vision. I'd be on stages. I'm like, all this stuff came up from, that was already planted. The seed was planted. I'm like, okay, she said it. Could it be possible? Yeah. If anything were possible, if I could get over my stage fright and my inability to speak in public or do a Facebook Live or, I don't know how to grow a business. But if I did, this is what I would want to do. I want to run retreats. I'd want to do group coaching programs. I'd want to help women feel sexy and amazing in their own skin. I'd want to be the voice to like quit dieting, start just being, And I'm like, yeah, that's what I would do. She's like, great, choose.
Wow. How confronting.
It's like, well, you can't just choose that. Like, I've already gone to school for this, I'm almost 40 years old. You don't just choose a different career path when you've spent your whole life training to be something else. She's like, why?
Why? Yeah.
But it wasn't even in my realm of like what's possible in the world. Like, I just had this set vision of the way that my life should be. this is my path. I'm on the path. I'm going to retire at 60 and I'm going to travel the world and I'm going to do all this. And then I'm going to die. And that was my life. I had it planned. I had it mapped out. And then she just put like this new path. What if that's not actually your path? And what if you could create something new? And I was like, whoosh, my knees started shaking. I got off the phone with her and I thought she was crazy too. And then I called her back and I said, how much is it to work with you? And that's how it started, you know? And 6 weeks later, I quit teaching.
Wow.
6 weeks later, I quit teaching.
That's incredible. The thing about your story that's incredible is you were building clients. It was too much to do while working full time and you were able to quit your job and replace it, where I think most stories are closer to mine. You quit the job or you lose the job. Like something happens with the job. And that's what happened with me. The nonprofit lost funding. So I thought I was going to retire doing this thing like teaching, right? Foster care. I thought I was going to retire. And when I lost funding, my husband said, well, you can take 5 months off. Why don't you write a book? So I did. And then I was like, I want to actually do a lot of the same things that I was doing in my job, which was teaching and I was training. Training is similar to teaching, which is similar to coaching, right? As a teacher, you are geared to coach because you have that mindset already. So some of us make that switch very easily, but I had no clients. So you are the success story that everybody wants to have happen. Started as a side gig, totally clueless is even better. And then like you had too many clients. So the Midas touch thing, that's really interesting. Your mindset wasn't that starting a coaching business is hard. Your blocks were totally different.
So when I first started, you know, it's really interesting because people said, like, how did you grow so quickly? And my answer was, I don't know. Because I really, truly didn't know how it happened, but I do now. What happened was I was sharing my stories. I was sharing my transformation. People were following my journey. And then they were like, how are you doing that? How did you get from there to there? And so they could deeply connect with me because my story was their story, except I was two steps ahead. And all I needed to be was two steps ahead. Yeah. You're like, ah, I can do that, but I can't do it on my own. Help me. Let me journey with you. And that's literally what happened. So a lot of times coaches come to me and they're like, oh, I don't have enough experience. I said, you just have to be two steps ahead.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a teaching thing too. College professors will tell you you're a chapter ahead.
Yeah.
To teach a class, you have to be a chapter ahead. I mean, that's a very watered down version of teaching because teaching takes a lot of other skills. You get trained, but basically content wise, you just need to be a chapter ahead. So that part is absolutely correct. You don't have to have it all done and ready and perfect because that's websites and businesses are fluid. They're constantly changing.
Yeah. And there's like 5 billion websites online. So unless you're marketing to your website, most people aren't going to find it. There's so many websites right now. Unless you say, hey, go to my website. Most people, unless you're doing search engine optimization or you have a huge, you know, you've been in business for a while. But in the beginning, I ended up doing that, getting the fancy, like 2 years later, I ended up getting the fancy website and the business cards and all those other things. And I started sabotaging. I started overcomplicating things. I started like designing programs and doing, you know, training modules, and nobody even looked at them. They didn't want more work. They just wanted to uncover what was in their way of having the courage. Like they didn't have the courage to take action. They wanted to discover what is in my way. Why am I so afraid to just move forward in life? They didn't want the extra worksheets, and I did, because that's how my brain works. You know, so I was projecting that, thinking, well, everybody needs this. Everybody needs like the worksheets and the videos and a step-by-step. No, that was just me, you know? And so there was a lot that I learned, but yeah. So my first year was really great. I replaced my teaching salary. The next 2 years, I made nothing in my business.
Oh, ouch.
Like My third year in business, I generated $10,000 in revenue and I spent $40,000 to make it. And I was like, what happened? And I was creating this story. Well, my market dried up. People already know me, but that wasn't the truth. I was actually really afraid to be seen at the next level. Outside of my own personal network, I was just like hiding. I didn't want to connect with new people. I didn't want to build, you know, on my social media platforms. I didn't want to reach out and connect with people and say, hey, you know, let's be friends, or hey, join my network. It's like, oh no, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. And so when it got to the next level, I put my brakes on and I was just like, why am I so afraid to reach out to people that I don't know? And I uncovered one of my stories is I was bullied in seventh grade. I was the new girl and it was relentless. Like Jen, I mean, it was horrible. I would eat my lunch sometimes in the bathroom. I'd hide in like the primary classrooms. I'd hide in the playground. After school, I would run home from school. It was relentless. Every time they saw me, there's a group of six of them, sometimes eight. They were always around me. So I created this narrative in my mind, like, who do you think you are? Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you here, because that's what they used to say to me. Who do you think you are coming to our school? You think you're so great. You're not. You're nothing. You're nobody. But after hearing that for a year, it became my internal dialogue. So showing up in my business when new people, I was like, oh man, this is not safe, unconsciously. This is too scary. Like, they don't like me. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And you know, when you have that story, you find evidence of that being true.
Yeah.
Because all I was looking for was evidence that it was true.
Right.
So I had to break through that to get to the next level. I had to develop unshakable belief in myself as a coach, as a human being. I had to get rid of the story that, who do I think I am? I'm a teacher. I'm not a coach. No, I was a teacher and now I'm a coach, but it took me 4 years to start believing I was a coach.
How did the business shift in this time?
So when I signed up for the high performing coach program. So I'm a co-founder now, but I signed up as a client of high performing coach. Right. I uncovered all of these blocks because I thought it was just the tactics. You know, you just need to know where to find your clients, how to speak to them, your niche, your methodology, you know, your value-based pricing, and just go do it. Or a system to have a conversation with them. But I didn't realize that you also have to have belief in yourself. Because if you don't, you put on the brakes. So when I had this breakthrough discovery, I kind of like created a new possibility. Basically, like, okay, if I wasn't afraid, who would I be online? Like, I'd be powerful. I'd be unconstrained. I'd say whatever the hell I want to say online. And that's how I started showing up. And then 10 days later, I earned $10,000 in revenue. I doubled my prices. I created three high-paying clients. And before I knew it, I had 20 people in a group coaching program. I was doing live events. And in the next five, like basically less than 5 months, I generated $98,000 in revenue.
Holy crap.
And then it just blew up from there. So when I was complete the program, the co-founders asked me if I wanted to join their team to help them get right. their business to the next level. And then the pandemic hit.
Surprise!
And then we're like, oh my gosh, we only have this high level program. We're having conversations with all of these coaches that are scared, that are afraid of what this pandemic is going to bring. You know, they want help, but they don't want to invest a lot of money because they're not making money. So we completely pivoted and turned. We created a program to help reach all coaches. And in that process, we took our business from six figures to seven figures in the next 8 months and, you know, doubled that this year. So it's just been, I say it's like a miracle. It's miraculous, you know, to just take off that quickly. But it was a team effort and it was a lot of inner work that had to be done on like all of us had to do a lot of personal development and inner work to get out of our own way. So yeah, that's how it happened.
you pivoted from health to more high performing. I mean, you, in some ways you cast a more broad net, but also you niched it down. You pivoted a little bit off health, but you still post a lot about health.
So this is the interesting thing. I started out as a health coach because I had huge body image issues. Like, I think it's even like body image dysmorphia, because I remember going shopping. I was a size zero. I would go in the changing room and start crying that I look like a sausage, that I was huge. Like I could not see that person in the mirror. That person in the mirror was not me. And it was really debilitating, to the point where I was always at the gym, always watching what I ate, or I was the opposite. I didn't care about anything. And it was like this internal struggle of not enoughness. You know, my diet wasn't enough. My exercise wasn't enough. I wasn't enough. My clothes weren't enough. The way I looked wasn't enough. Like, it was just so loud in my head. So I think signing up to be a health coach helped me break through the other side of that, to just embrace who I am, you know, embrace my body. And I'm not saying it's perfect. It's still a little bit of a struggle sometimes. I'm still a little bit hard on myself, but I catch it. But when I broke through that, then what I got really good at was like mastering my mindset. And I realized that it wasn't weight loss. It was like just creating a healthy mindset. So then I shifted into more like mindset coaching, helping people really start paying attention to their thoughts. And I called myself the mind chatter eliminator, being aware of your thoughts and eliminating the thoughts. And then in this process, like, my husband and I were separated for 3 years. And then we both did work on ourselves, and then we reunited and got back together. So then I was sharing stories about that. Well, then all of these people started coming to me for relationship coaching. So in that year, I was a health coach, I was a mindset coach, I was a relationship coach, you know, and it was just like this evolution of, as I was growing and developing, I was just attracting new people. And so I shifted. People are, who's my niche, Tina? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's going to change. Yeah. It's going to change as you grow and evolve. You know, you don't have to be attached to your niche. Just be attached to who you want to serve. Who's your ideal client? Who do you want to work with? You know, because I think at the source of it all, we're all dealing with the same issues at the end of the day.
I think not only are we dealing with the same issues, or very similar, maybe a different level for each of us, right? But especially women to women, like, why don't we talk about periods and miscarriages and menopause? We're all women who are going to go through it all, but we don't. And maybe our levels of discomfort in those conversations are different. But we're all experiencing them. Why aren't we talking about them? So when you're talking about your story, it's going to resonate with the people who need to hear that right now, because you're being more loud and unafraid, uninhibited about talking about that thing. So, you know, I mean, I don't understand why women don't just talk about certain things. If we're all in line with tampons, why don't we talk about it? I just don't understand. So when people do, the people around them that are like, yes, let's talk about that, are going to want to connect with you, which is so true. We're jumping around, which I love. I love that the conversation is organic. So you've talked about a couple of your struggles a little bit. You brought up alcohol and you brought up body dysmorphia. Let's go back in time and kind of start more intentionally sharing those bits of your story that kind of led you, because we've seen a lot of that in just our conversation, but I'd like to get more specific, because like you said, the people that are struggling with that need to hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, when I look back at the past, right, because people that see this version of me now have no idea what it took to be this version of me now. They're like, oh my gosh, she probably had the greatest life in the world and it was probably easy for her. And yeah, no, you know, like, my dad has schizophrenia. So I grew up in a house that was very unstable. Like, I didn't know who I was walking into or what was happening, what was going to happen. And my parents separated when I was young, but my mom was a young mom. She had me when she was 18. So when I was 7 years old, you know, she was just starting life in her 20s. So she, when my parents separated, I was with my sister and I were with my dad a lot of the times. So my dad would go in these like ultimate, like real deep, deep depressions and psychosis, and he'd end up in the hospital. He tried to commit suicide. And when that was happening, then my mom would take us for a while until he was a little bit better. And then we would go back and live with my dad. And then it would be a few months, he'd be okay and stable. And then he'd start slipping into old patterns. So it was like this for years. So everything in my life was so unstable. You know, even in the thick of this, when my dad and mom are separating and, you know, we had a house fire, we lost everything in seventh grade. So when I went to the new school, they didn't realize, like, I literally lost everything. And we had to take like donations at school for like our clothes and stuff like that. Well, in seventh grade, it was like a horrifying experience to show up at school in your friend's clothes, you know? And so it was tough. It was a challenge to be that, like, oh my gosh, you know, my parents had insurance, but it takes a while to get that. They didn't have money to just go out and buy us all new things, right? So it was a series of a lot of things that just happened, you know? But I was one of those kids that was very, like, I told myself a story at a very young age. Be strong. And be strong meant don't show emotion. And I also told myself, like, don't rely on anybody. And so I lived life in this story that you can't rely on anybody. You know, things are going to be messy and that's okay. You know, like, just be strong. But it wasn't always easy. I just hid. You know, I hid in my life. I pretended that I was fine. On the outside, you know, I remember seventh grade when my dad tried to commit suicide and I went back to school. There was a group of teachers talking and I overheard one of the teachers saying, oh, that poor girl, she doesn't have a chance. And I remember the anger like inside of me, like, I'm not my dad. I'm not these people, you know? And I remember being very conscious about that. And I believe that I created this story that I'm not a loser like my dad. So I went through life having to win everything. If I wasn't the best, I wasn't even going to try. Like, unless I knew I was going to be the top of everything, I wouldn't even try. So I think when it came to, like, you know, going to university, I got multiple degrees. I got top of my class. It was this mission that I had to be the best at everything, which set me up being the best. I needed to look the best too. Like, there couldn't be anybody around me that looked better than me. Like, I had to be the skinniest, the prettiest, the smartest. And so I just spent my life just never, ever measuring up to my own expectations of myself. And then that just projected onto others. Nobody could measure up to any of my expectations either. And wow. I just sabotaged relationships, friendships, pushed everybody away. Because I'm like, people are going to leave anyways. So it was challenging.
Wow. With your dad, I mean, growing up with someone who's schizophrenic, that's a whole podcast on its own, right?
Yeah, like, my mom would work midnights. And so I was my dad's confidant when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
So he would wake me up and he would tell me all of his problems. No wonder why I'm a coach, you know, like, yeah. I just got used to listening, you know, but yeah. And I mean, like, intimate things that kids shouldn't know about, like relationship issues. And my dad was traumatized when he was a kid and I would hear about that. And, you know, we had a family that my grandfather was a pedophile.
Wow. And so there
was a lot of sexual abuse in the family. And I knew all of it when I was 7 years old and I listened to it and I, you know, but that's who I was. I had to be that person for my dad, but it was years and years. And when he would go into these, at, like, you know, when I moved out when I was 17, but when he would have these episodes, right, he would call me all hours of the night. And he just, it got to the point where he was so suicidal. I felt, oh, I just wish he would actually succeed. you know, and it's hard to admit that, like, you just want your dad to die. But I felt like, oh my gosh, when is this going to end? Like, when am I going to be free? And I thought that the only solution was he would have to die for me to be free. Like, I didn't think that there was any help, anything that was going to help him. And he did eventually, like, come around, you know, he's medicated now. We have a better relationship. I can see him as a human being that's having struggles, but as a teenager, I couldn't understand.
I get that though. I have been connected with someone who talked about suicide so often. I was like, either do it or shut up and get help. Like, I don't have the skills and the ability to get you through this. And hearing about it constantly is a constant stress of, am I going to find this person dead? And are they going to do it? That constant level of stress in, especially, you know, like a child, or that constant level of stress from someone that you love, and that complete feeling of helplessness. Did I want the person to kill themselves? No, but I wanted the conversation to end. And if the only way the conversation needed to end, and also you don't want to keep hearing about how that's a possibility. That shouldn't be a conversation on the table ever. And if you need to have that conversation regularly because you're suicidal, that is a very serious thing. And you need to get very serious help from people who are qualified to do that. And I was not qualified to do that. Even through all my suicide awareness training, when my own daughter has had suicidal thoughts and has been contemplating, and when she had her attempt, I was like, I'm really great at this, right up to this level. You need this level. Yeah. We need to find you this level because I can't deal with the responsibility of you not committing suicide. You need something outside of me. Yeah. And that's an okay thing to, but when you don't even think there is an outside thing. So yeah, I completely understand that statement and how hard it is to make, where you're like, then just go do it. Cause I don't want to hear about it anymore. I can't do this anymore. That constant level of stress, how awful that is.
Yeah. You know, I carried around a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, you know, those emotions that are just like, they're just there. And I didn't realize that, that they were just my emotions. You know, my emotions had become like almost part of my identity. Like, I just, like, I thought I was shameful. I thought that I was, you know, like, I thought I was anxious. I thought I was all of these things, but it's not, no, it was just my emotions. And when I didn't know how to deal with those emotions, then I just stuffed them with being really busy, with doing a whole bunch of training, with like putting my head in the books. I couldn't be quiet. You know, when my husband and I separated, I remember we had shared custody. And I think part of the reason why I wanted to be a health coach was to occupy my brain during my downtime. I couldn't be with my thoughts. It's no wonder why I said, like, when I was able to tame those thoughts, why I wanted to be a mind chatter eliminator, because it was so real, you know, but it was something that was programmed in me my whole entire life. You know, I was always in my head thinking about the next step, planning ahead, you know, always making sure that, okay, like, check in on dad. Is he okay? Check in on my mom. Check in. Like, I was always like pre-planning everything to just minimize the impact, you know? And so, yeah, it was like a heightened sense of, I was always on alert.
Yeah.
Always on alert. And, you know, when my dad finally got the help that he needed, it was just like finally somebody can deal, other than me, can deal with this. And you know, I think he created this view of me too, that like, I was always going to be there to like save him, like not just when he wants to attempt suicide, but I really started like just saying like, Dad, is it true that you want to kill yourself right now? Or is there something else that you need? Do you need to be heard? Do you need me to call somebody? Like, are you lonely? Like, yeah, you know, and then he started communicating more about what was really there. But I had developed tools, right? Like, I had my honors in psychology and I had my bachelor in education. And then, so I was starting to like have these tools in my toolkit now that I didn't have when I was 18 years old or 14 years old or 7 years old. But yeah, it's you know, I look back now and I think it was just so perfect. Like my life was really perfect because I'm here today doing what I do because of all those things that I've been through. And it's why I can relate so deeply to anybody who comes to me, who says like, they've been raped. Yep, I have too. Mm-hmm. Have been abused. Yep, I have too. Who have parents with drinking disorders. What? Yep, I've been there too. Living in poverty. Yep, I've been there too. It's like, tell me, what else are you using as an excuse to not move forward in your fucking life? I've been there. I've done it. Don't give me those bullshit excuses for playing small. They're your gold. They're your nuggets. What? They are what you get to give away because you're still here. You survived. Like, don't be so selfish.
Yeah. And don't you think also that even if I've been through something that you haven't been through, when people have been through trauma and struggles, there are the situations may be vastly different. Like I've never been a man, for example. So there's certain things I'm never going to experience.
Yeah.
That's an easy way to point it out. Although your reaction, your limitations, your belief systems, your reactions, your feelings are all almost exactly the same as mine were in my own struggle. Even when our struggles are not quite the same, our feelings about our struggles and what we need to work through is very similar. Yeah. But I'm with you. Like, what do you want to talk about today? What do you want to talk about? I've done it. I've done all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah,
our thoughts create our reality. And it doesn't matter what you've been through in life. It's how you're responding now to what happened in life. You know, like we can't go back. We're not going that way. But so many people just live in the past. They're so stuck. But what's really stuck are their emotions about it. Their emotions are stuck. And it's like when you can just see like those things left an emotional impact, release the emotions and start recreating. You know, like I'm not the same person I was last year or the year before or the year before, but that's because I'm always doing the work to uncover what is my belief system? What is the reality that I'm creating? And I wish, like, and I mean, I've invested in personal development for my daughters too, because I want them to know this, what I know now, I want them to know at 11 and 13 years old. And they do. And I hear them in their conversations like, well, what's your story about that? What do you need right now? You know, like, it's so beautiful.
Right.
I never had that. I never had somebody to say, well, how are you feeling about that? Or, you know, like, no, because everybody else couldn't deal with my emotions either. So you just learn to suppress them because what I realize is that strong emotions are hard for others to be with too.
Yeah.
You know?
And we, like, I was born in 70. I bring this up a lot in the podcast because I don't talk much about age, but I know in my generation, my parents were way not equipped to deal. Each generation has their own pros and cons, I think. But our parents, schizophrenic, alcoholic or not, they were not equipped the way we are. I think because of how our generation was raised, we learned to do things differently. And like with parenting, I looked at my parents who could have done, I mean, it was not great a lot of the time. There was a lot of dysfunction. And I thought, I want to do it better. And I've knocked it out of the park. But again, they weren't at 100%. If they were at 10% and I'm at 60, that's a vastly different. It's still 60%. I've looked at my kids and said, look, I have taken what I was given and taken it as far as I can and have done the best job. I want you to be better parents than I am. I want you to be more aware than I was. I mean, I had huge growth considering where I came from, just like you did. However, what I can pass on is that they can do it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of that at all.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you said that because it's, you know, I feel like we're at a position we can either reinforce the patterns that were taught to us, or we can break the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes something.
Break them. And breaking them doesn't mean that you're great.
No.
Like breaking them and moving forward is, I mean, yeah, that part's tough. I did not perpetuate any of the cycles, and I did a much better job compared to like what? That's relative, right? I did better than her, but she failed. So I got to do it, you know?
Yeah. And I, you know, I look at my mom now and I'm like, wow, my mom had me when she was 18. And I look at what I was doing at 18 and I'm like, wow, she did a pretty freaking good job. Like I have to, you know, even though it was imperfect and whatever, I'm like, look at me. Like right. I'm a pretty great person. And, you know, it was interesting because a couple weeks ago, like my brother passed away a couple months ago. And so we were just doing like a little thing for him. And when I left, my mom hugged me, but like not just one of those like hugs and like how she usually does. Like it was a hug, like holding on to me, first time ever. Like I don't have a lovey-dovey relationship with my mom, but she hugged me and she said, I know I don't tell you this enough, but I'm so proud of you. And she said, I can't believe I raised such an amazing daughter. And I was just like, it's the first time I ever heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know how to be with it. I was right. Just in this, thanks, mom. But it really like, it touched my heart that was, I felt like a real acknowledgement from her. And I think most of my life, I've been looking for that acknowledgement or like always like trying to, you know, like, am I enough for her? And I think I got that, like, I have been this whole thing, this whole not enoughness when she would leave. I think I created this story that like, well, I'm not good enough for her to want to be with me all the time. And so I created this relationship with my mom where it was very like superficial. You know, let's see each other at Christmas and come in for your 20-minute visits. And, you know, but I realized I created that relationship with my mom. She's been trying her whole life to make up for what she believed was like some parenting fails. She's been trying to make up for that. And I haven't allowed her to. And I just realized that, wow, I can recreate my relationship with my mom right now. And she opened the door to make that possible. So it's just really interesting, right? How we just keep evolving. And you see, you have these insights and you have these moments of clarity and awareness and like that. You can change anything with anybody, but you got to be willing to do the work, you know? So.
And recognize it. I mean, your mom gave you the opening, but you recognized it. And I know I can look at my past at some situation with friends or in dating relationship where the opportunity presented itself and I didn't recognize it, or I recognized it and it scared me to death. Mm-hmm. So you do the opposite. And, you know, I mean, it's, there are all these things when you really show up that you have to be willing to do, right? You have to recognize things. You have to be willing to admit it. You have to show up. You have to break the cycles. You have to figure out what to do once you've broken the cycles. It's not like a little thing. People are struggling with like, that's pretty monumental and life changing. And man, it's hard. And we're afraid.
Yeah. What I've really learned, my biggest lesson in life, the real big lesson, is that when we're just present, and I've practiced this because I've never been present in my life. Just present, like right here, right now with you, I get to just be present with you. When we look in the past, when we look too far in the future, mm-hmm. we just stay in our head. But when we're present, we're just really in our heart. You know?
Yeah. You taught yourself that, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I did too.
I've had to do I'm always investing in coaching. Always different coaches, you know, spirituality coaches. Cause it's like, what's the one area that, you know, I need to take on my spirituality, you know, like my sense of something greater, my, you know, I don't even know what it's called. I call her my woo-woo coach. You know, she just helps me really get present and tap into my heart. I had to hire a coach to help me do that because I didn't know how to be present. I was always thinking about what's the next thing I have to do, or what's the one thing that I didn't complete from yesterday, or like just being checking off. Yeah. So like even just sitting with my kids or just being with them, I was always thinking about all the other things that I needed to do. I couldn't just be present. I was always worried about finances or money or this or that. Or it's like, whoa, who cares about that right now? Like, just be present. And
that's
in that
moment, hard. It is hard.
It is a practice.
Yeah. It's hard to learn. And it's, no, I don't think for me anyway, that is not a one and done.
No. No way. Heck no.
No.
Annoying. Because it's like in and out, in and out, in and out. And see, you're even during like, you know, this podcast interview with you, I can be present and then I can be thinking about a past thing, or I could be thinking about, oh, what are people thinking on the other end? Or, oh, should I have not said that? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I was too vulnerable. But then as soon as you catch it, it's like, bring it back to present.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Bring it back. Bring it back. You know, there's nothing, there's no future with like, this is we have right now. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how many people are going to watch it. I don't know if people are going to be triggered, if people are going to have something to say, you know, it doesn't really matter because right now, all we have is right now, but we start thinking about the what ifs, the yeah, buts, and then we start projecting that outward. You know, it's like the law of attraction. We start thinking those thoughts, we put them in, guess what? Whatever we think, it comes back. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. Right now, I'm just going to do the best that I can. I'm just going to share who I am. People are going to like it or not, but that's okay. Right now is all I have.
I have an 11-year-old daughter who's going into sixth grade, and we're homeschooling right now, but she's doing that like friend awkward, noticing her body, which is changing, you know, that.
Yeah.
Right. We all like painful. And I had a conversation with her yesterday, and I said, we read her texts. She just got a phone, and so we can leave the house and she has a way to contact us and she can contact her friends and stuff. But every night she plugs it in our room and I read all of her texts. And I said, why are you afraid that people won't like you? And she just looked at me and I said, when you are texting friends saying, and you text them, they don't respond quickly enough. So you're like, just want to know if you're there. Maybe I'm texting too much and you want to be besties. And, you know, I'm wondering, do you even like me? What is it about yourself that you are concerned that your friends don't like you if they're not responding when you want, how you want? They all have parents who are mean like me, who take their phones away and ground them and have other stuff going on. Like, what? Why do you feel like you need to ask people if they like you? So here's the thing you need to learn. Be yourself. People aren't going to like you. It will be genuine. And the people who do like you, it will be genuine. You don't need to massage who you are and send out these texts and make changes so that person will text you back. If you need to do that, right? If you need to do that, those aren't your people. Yeah. And I gave you examples from siblings, you know, like I have a daughter who hates to talk. You don't call her. And so I text her, but I know that because she doesn't text me back sometimes for a week and a half. And so I was like, hey, you know, do you prefer it if I call you? She's like, oh no, like mom, please. Like, I just don't like the phone. Don't, it puts me on the spot. I'm her mom. What, why is that scary? Right. I'm calling my daughter. She's like, just text me. And I'm like, I was just curious because you don't respond to my text. So I thought maybe you preferred a different way of communicating. She's like, no, it's kind of just who I am. I know you texted me. I read it and I'll respond when I want to. That's my daughter who's 21, who I have a great relationship with. And I use that as an example. Why are you expecting your friends to react differently than your sister does?
Yeah.
This is the way they respond, right? This is her comfort zone. And so I just respect it. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It's not about me. So you really have to learn to show up from a pretty early age when you're awkward and uncomfortable. You need to learn to show up as yourself. So people who genuinely like you, genuinely like you. Like you said, if people comment and it's not good, they're not your people. Move on.
Yeah, I heard the other day there was somebody asked, what do you think is the number one addiction in like in the world right now? And like people, alcohol, whatever. And it's the like button. It's the like people are looking for likes, comments on Instagram, Facebook, social media. They're looking for like that validation. So, you know, things are really changing, but I think we're going to see the real impact in a few years from now, because this is a perfect example. And my kids deal with it too. And it's one of the things that I talk about all the time, but it's like, everything's instant, instant. Everybody wants things right away, right away. That's not the real world. That's not life, except we're training them to believe that it is, right? And so when they don't get that, then they're in this space of, oh no, they get stuck in the stories about it. They don't like me. They don't, because everything's instant. They just expect it. And so what I do with my kids is I help them see what's happening and what are the stories about it. What happened is you sent a message. The story is they're not responding quick enough. They don't like me. They're not friends with me. They're not my bestie. Da, da, da. Now, when you collapse them, they become your reality and it's just not true. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking at like, what's the truth? What's the story? You know, and
I know
social media. Oh my gosh. It actually scares me. I know I need it to grow my business and I know we're on social media, but I'm really, really concerned about what the future is going to look like in this. Cause it's, even though we're more connected, we're more disconnected.
100%. I agree with that. 100%. Speaking of connection, so we have a few minutes left. I want to end it with, you know, if people are looking for you as a coach, and also one thing that's nagging me is you got back together with your husband after 3 years.
Yeah.
Of being separate. So what a success story. And we didn't touch on that. I don't know what you want to discuss about that and how it connects to your business, or if it does, but I want to put those two things out there and allow you to finish.
Yeah, I think when it comes to like my relationship with my husband, I realized how I was doing one thing is how I was doing all things. So there was a breakdown in not only my relationship, in my health, in every area of my life. And what I realized is that when you take one area on, you can start seeing access to create that in other areas of your life. And so when it came to my husband and I, because I started developing a different relationship with myself, then I was like, we're co-parenters. Like we're tied together for life. We can either do that hating each other, or we can do that loving each other and respecting each other. And our kids can have role models, even though we're not together, doesn't mean we can't be a good example for them. And so my husband and I did personal development. I enrolled him in the personal development. So he did it too. Then we just started communicating, like really communicating, like we hadn't done in our relationship. And then we just started doing things together as a family, you know, not together, but just, hey, it's Lexi's birthday. You know, let's have a party at my house. You bring your family. It was weird for our families at first to be like, why are you guys doing so many things together? And we're like, why not? We can create our life. And this is what we want it to look like. But then we started realizing we just weren't fighting anymore. And we were really connecting at a deeper level. We're like, wait a minute, do you think we could actually make this work? And, you know, even though I train and develop coaches, one of the things that I say is, yeah, you're coming to me to grow your coaching business. I get that. But what I'm going to give you is you get to have it all in your life. And how you show up in one area is how you're showing up in all areas. So when you take on the one thing, whatever that is for you, the other things are going to fall in place. Mm-hmm. And so I make sure that they're doing the work in their life too. You know, you got to be the real deal. If you're going to coach others and you're going to bring them up, you got to be the real deal. There's no phony baloney coaches out there that, you know, like not on my watch, you know, because I'm really clear. Like I have a mission in life. And I believe that my mission is to serve the evolution of the human race by empowering coaches to transform the world. And I believe that coaches, like we need more of us, because there's 7.6 billion people in the world. Everybody could use a coach.
Mm-hmm.
People that are up to big things have coaches in their corner. So when it comes to my relationship and my business, it's all connected. My whole life is connected in, you know, it's you can't separate it. We get to live life. And I call it like the game of life. Let's see how fun we can make this game called life. And let's just take it all on. Yeah.
Thank you, Tina, so much for being here. Wow, this was a long time coming and so awesome. So fun.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for letting me share and talk. And
love it.
Yeah, it's really great. And thank you
for investing your time with me on At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm so glad that you joined our conversation. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit from it or it would have a positive impact on their life, that would be amazing. Go to the podcast page to sign up for the free membership site where all guest links are available. This podcast is designed to help you in your struggles. So reach out and let me know what you enjoy or what you would like to see more of. It will support me on the journey of causing a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Until next time, remember you are not alone in your struggle. Reach out to me on any platform. I love to connect. You are worth it to me. Have an amazing day.